This morning's message, let us be called by your name. Let us be called by your name. Coming from Isaiah, the fourth chapter, I have on that a scripture text, Isaiah, the fourth chapter, the first through the sixth verse. Really, I'm just going to talk about that first verse this morning. The second through the sixth verse is what I think these ladies was desiring. But we don't always get what we desire because a lot of times our motives are not right. Our motivation is not right. We ask things of God and we'll see that there are certain requirements that God has for fulfilling a prosperous life, a life that means something to you, a life that gives you purpose and drive. It's a life that's mind-changing. In other words, he said he'll give you a new heart. Yes. That new heart, he'll give you a heart to worship him. You know, that heart has repentance in it. That heart is a change of mind, like I said, to put you on the right way. Maybe in power with the service this morning or whatever with Brother Jackson's testimony. But sometimes we ask God for things and we do things. And when God do give us things, instead of going on and glorifying God, we make other excuses. And then God has to sometime ride us, sometime chasten us, to bring us or turn us to where we should be, to make you think that what you asked of God. We look here that in that fourth chapter, in the first verse, and if we look at it, it reads, "And in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away thine reproach." They were going to provide something that God provides. They were going to provide something that God provides. They were going to eat of their own bread. In other words, they was going to turn or change the role. They were going to change the role in which God, or the way God had designed. And a lot of people say this is a continuation of the third chapter. These women were the proud women that dressed. And we look through the 16th verse there when he said about the daughter of Zion had became hardy. They had clothes, they were dressed up, and they were proud or whatever. We heard the testimony that sometimes we think it's the suit, and you've heard it a lot of time, the suit don't make the man. Right. That you can go to church without that suit, you know, that you can go to church without being dressed up and lifted up. Sometimes that suit, sometimes that dress, those earrings, watches and things, these women, I don't want to go capitulate and go back over what we went over, but they were proud, they were hardy, they were really dressed up. They had on a lot of diamonds, rings, and watches, and jewelry, and they were very beautiful, which made them proud, would put pride in their heart. And through that pride, they got away from God. You know, sometimes when God gives us what we want or what we ask for or something, it causes us to get away from God, fulfill other lusts and walk other ways and not do what we promised God that we will do. And sometimes God, if you're a child of God, you'll notice that he'll get on your heart and say, well, look, I'm not doing what God told me to do. I need to get on the right track. I need to go back and do my first works over. I've left my first love. My love was to fulfill what God had given me the beauty to do, those things, the suits, the apparel and thing, what God had given me to fulfill his promise. But if that change of mind and that change of heart doesn't come about, God may not be working with you. God may not be working with you. We see where these women wanted to be married in name only. You know, marriage is a pretty big commitment. We're married to the Lord. We're married to the church is married to the Lord. When you make that vow, it's to death do you part. Sometimes you may not feel like coming to church. Sometimes you may not feel like going to work. Sometimes you may not feel like you're married or whatever. But it's not about a feeling. It's not about emotion. It's about faith. It's about trust. It's something you can't see. He said he just didn't feel right because he had told God something, and the trust between him and God was broken because he wasn't fulfilling his portion of it. It's a reciprocal action. Love is reciprocal. One gives to another. Your wife needs to reciprocate the love that you're giving her. That's why when a man get up and work and they've gotten away from the marriage vows to death do we part, and that he should do and provide for his wife or whatever. And she's trying to flip that around, that he don't have to provide for her anymore. That she'll provide for herself. And that's what's wrong today. Too many women providing for themselves. They don't really need the man. The only reason they're married or having a man, so they won't look like an old maid or look like someone that can't get a man, because it's not appropriate for society. They have that guy in the house and he's not doing anything. She's the breadwinner. She's providing her own clothing and everything. It's her car that he's riding in. If they want to observe the holidays that America has set up or whatever, it's her money he's buying her Valentine gifts with. So money he's doing all this with. All she has is that she has a man. She has in name only a man. And that's what these women wanted. Someone just in name only. They said, we'll provide the rest. See, but that's not enough. That doesn't satisfy. So we see that these women didn't have a change of heart. There are a lot of people that are in the church that hadn't had a change of heart, that they're not fulfilling their portion of their commitment to God. See, when God starts to work on you, you say, look, I need to get on up and fix breakfast. I need to do something that God is empowering me to do. That God gave me sight. God gave me strength. God gave me health. God is continually giving, but what am I giving to God? Am I reciprocating and giving back to God that he's giving me? Or am I being my own man or my own woman? I'm providing so I can give to God if I want to. It's my money. If I want to give it to God, I'll give it. If not, I won't. So if they want to buy the husband something, if they want to buy this, or because the relationship is one that's not dependent upon the other. Whereas we know God is not dependent upon us. But see, that's what then happened with Christianity today. Instead of it, we're being a duty of a Christian voluntarily. In other words, when we come to Jesus Christ, we said, Lord, I'll serve you until I die. I won't forsake the assembling together of ourselves. I'll go to church and I'll learn how to serve you. Your instruction, you tell me how to live and tell me what to do. But she said she'll provide her own bread. How many women tell their husband, you don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me where to go. See, and scriptures in the Bible says thine husband is thine maker. So this is kind of, it's not just a literal marriage or whatever. It's figurative also, is that we are married to Christ. Now we belong to him, and he does tell us what to do. We can't bring our own bread to this relationship. We have to hunger and thirst for the bread he provides, and that's the instruction. He's making us what we need to be, what we should be. So the husband makes the wife. The wife is a helpmeet to the husband to be made in that image and likeness. They become one flesh. They're not independent of one another. So he needs her and she needs him. And that's why they say submitting to one another. And the husband fully submitted to Christ. You know, the woman, a lot of times, her beauty corrupts her. And that's what's wrong with a lot of relationships. We look at Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, in the 17th verse, where it says, thine heart was lifted up because of thine beauty. Thou hast corrupted thine wisdom by the reason of the brightness. I will cast thee to the ground and will lay you before kings. This proud woman that we were talking about in Isaiah, that she was all dressed up or whatever, and the husband really wasn't, she didn't really need the husband for anything. So the Lord had to cast her down because her beauty, her looks, her shape, all of the things that God had given her, she took other lovers. She didn't adore her husband. She wasn't a chaste bride. So that's what's happening in the church in Revelation. If we read those seven churches, a lot of them had left their first love. One of them, he says, you have a name which is a lie, but you're dead. Strengthen those things that remain. Strengthen those things that are about to die. One or two of the churches had the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Laodicea. And that's what's wrong with a marriage. When you bring your own bread, in other words, your own instruction. If your parents didn't taught you how to live properly, that would be the same bread that the Lord is giving you. But if you don't have godly parents, that woman may be that woman Jezebel that he talked about in Thyatira that was teaching her servants to seduce and lead astray the husbands to where they were eating food sacrificed to idols. In other words, the woman was instructing her daughter just probably as Jezebel did Athaliah, and Athaliah became a king in Judah, a reigning queen in Judah. That's why you have so many divorces and separations and things now, because she's just like her mama. Can't nobody tell her what to do. She's not going to be able to keep a man because she's going to be from nightclub to other places or whatever, because the husband is just there in name only to keep away the reproach so that she could be in the church. You know, that's why a lot of people are in the churches today, because that's kind of what's the end thing, is that everybody's a Christian. They're a Christian in name only. No, that's why he says he's going to purge the church. He's going to bring her down to open shame. Because she said she wanted to have his name to take away her reproach. She didn't say she wanted his name because she didn't feel right, in that she wasn't trusting and loving and had faith, in that her life was wrong, in that she needed to turn around, in that she needed to get instruction from him. She was coming with her own instruction, with her own clothing her own righteousness, that her ways was right. So she wasn't going to change within the marriage. It was just a marriage in name only. You know, you would be in a predicament as Jared Kushner's in. Just think, if you were married to this woman, but they didn't know your name is Ivanka Kushner, how does she know her name? Ivanka Trump, right? You wouldn't know she were married if people didn't tell you, because she didn't really need his name. Her name or the instruction from her father are more stronger than what he has. He's probably not in charge there at home. It's a bad marriage. In other words, it's not by God. It's for convenience. A lot of people marry out of convenience. A lot of people in the church, out of convenience, they run the business out of church. Because a lot of people say, well, we run a Christian bakery. We run a Christian store. This is Christian marriage. This is a Christian song. That's why they adopted Christmas and Easter, all that, to make it Christ-like, to put that name on, to stamp that name on it. And it's that in name only. It's not converted. It's not changed. That's why Christians are some of the worst people. Sometimes you wouldn't want him as a neighbor. You wouldn't want to go to his church because he's Christian in name only. And people say, you know, he say he holier. He say he a Christian, but man, look here. You know, that's why people say, wonder in America here, why the young people are no longer following Christianity or going to church the way they used to. Is that they didn't find out, you know, mom and daddy, I wouldn't want their God. I wouldn't want to serve their God. That's their God lies and says Christmas and Easter. They teach a false God. Their God doesn't teach love. Their God teaches hatred and prejudice. How you think that child raising up, coming up, And you teaching him prejudice to hate different colors and different nationalities. Just think, that's why the Civil War came about and this nation fell apart once, and it's why it's falling apart now. Because we're teaching people to hate somebody because of their color, a skin color, a religion, or their creed, whatever they're doing, that we're teaching hate, and we're still saying we're a Christian nation. So these children say, look, we don't want any part of your Christianity. Because you have some of the largest evangelical churches back in the foolishness that this government is participating in. But you don't see it's affecting what you say, because now your witness is not true, because they're going to call your children, going to call your hand on that. I hear you set up and call these people these names and things around the table and say this, and you're hiding your hand and throwing your brick. You see, your wife know what you really are. Your husband know what you are. Your children know what you are. Your parents know what you are. We didn't hear some of the nicknames you call people and some of the things when you come home from church, how you talk about the pastor, how you talk about your brothers and sisters. You are Christian in name only. You just wanted that reproach to be taken away, that you go to such and such big church. And that's why most people go join some mega church, some large church, where they don't examine your life. That you don't even know the people you go to church with. And the pastor ain't got no business in my business. He shouldn't be trying to find out how I live and what I do or whatever. Because I follow my own doctrine, my own instruction. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. All I'm here is just to take away the reproach that I'm sitting in church. You see, that's why I say I'm going to have to visit this testimony again, because, see, God has to start getting on your mind and say, look, you're not doing what you say you was going to do.
Yes.
See, when God get on your mind and start putting on it, the way he was talking seemed like something was a little bit different there. You know, sometimes God has to beat us with a big stick sometimes to start getting our attention. You know, if God beats you enough, you say, okay, I didn't have enough. You know, you start saying uncle. When God start lining you up and making you in his image and likeness, you start being honest with yourself. Didn't you testify and say, you know, I realize that I'm dirt now. I'm ready to come in. I'm glad he put me in this sanctuary. See, because Jacob called himself a worm. He said that I'm a worm. He realized what he was. Until these women realized that they had a horse forehead. And that's what Proverbs say. See, that's the brazen woman that's out there trying to seduce a man, that's trying to get a man. See, that's not nominal for the woman to approach the man about the marriage and about the relationship. It says, she wipes her mouth and says she hadn't did anything. She says, but death is in her home. Death is going that route. She's even willing to be in a polygamous relationship. It says seven women would take one man. Seven women. We're willing to be married to you and share you with these other women. We just want your name. God, when he put Adam and Eve together, he says, be fruitful and multiply. Wonder did Eve tell Adam where she got that fruit from that he was bringing, that she brought to him. He just went there and eat. You know, some men will eat anything. He should have actually eat where it's come from. But he would have to know the fruit that was in the garden. Wouldn't he? You know, my brother's kind of, he was asking me about my plum trees and things the other day. I said, I hadn't seen them. You know, I hadn't seen the plums or wasn't looking at them or whatever. See, but if I'm looking at and notice my plum trees or notice the fruit that's in my garden or whatever, someone bring me a plum that looks like my plum. No, those aren't the kind of plums on my tree. You know, him and his wife kind of know about different flowers and things. A lot of time I ask them about certain things because they're knowledgeable about those things. They say, oh, no, this is this kind of tree or this is this kind of bush or whatever. That's why godly counsel or counsel from everybody else or somebody, you have to ask counsel, ask somebody else, well, what kind of tree this is, what kind of plant this is. And I, a lot of time I ask my neighbor about different plants because, oh, Wilford, he can grow some good plants, so he know about different plants. Like my mother, she used to know the name of these plants or whatever. So, you know, Donna Ray would be good to go around because he's observant of those. I see the tree, the limbs and things coming up on the tree or whatever. But see, when Eve brought the fruit to Adam, she said, it says Eve was deceived. Adam should have been able to look at that fruit and say, no, that's not that kind of fruit. This fruit, where you get it from, that was her bread she brought to him. See, Christ is going to give us the bread of life. The bread he wanted Adam when he gave to him, he said, look, every tree out of here you can eat of. But don't eat of that tree in the midst of the garden. That's the only one. God told us to owe no man for anything or whatever. But do we get so proud and prideful that our wife brings some instructions to us or bring their own bread to where they want us to get a new car? They want us to get something else. Their pride wants us to keep up with the Joneses or get something because somebody else has that thing. But the man said, well, no, we can't afford that or whatever. He's not deceived by that advertisement that you can pay for in three easy notes or that you can do this and do that. Because he's being led by the Spirit of God. Sometime our wives, that's what happened to Ahab. His wife led him to take Naboth's vineyard. It didn't belong to him. That wasn't wise. That wasn't proper instruction. He should have said, no, you got that from your mom and daddy. Her daddy was the king of Tyre. Her daddy was a king, so they instructed you wrong. Don't bring that in here. We can't take another man's vineyard. That belonged to him. But she said, no, go in there, lay down, baby. I get it for you. And she had him killed and took his vineyard. See, that's the wrong bread. That's being instructed in the wrong way. That's why a lot of marriages and things break up, because one or the other trying to keep up with different people, you get so bogged down in debt now you can't see one another, and she's trying to dress up or whatever, and you walking around there half naked trying to pay for the stuff, and she still want more because you can't be satisfied, because if it's not of God, if he's not giving you the bread, you won't have satisfaction and peace and joy no matter what you achieve. You could win the lottery and take that money and go lose it in another lottery trying to get more money instead of enjoying that you won that time. See, God gives you contentment with what you have. You know, some men are content just to dwell in the little house they have. I'm content to drive the little vehicle I have or whatever. I was telling one of my sons this morning, you know, I need a carburetor on it or whatever. But when I get able to afford to put one on there, I will. But if I get so stretched out in looking what other people have and keeping up with the Joneses, I can get so stretched out that I'll lose all peace, joy, and contentment. But it's good not to have a lot of bills and notes and everything, because you're eating your own bread. You owe no man for nothing. But you start eating somebody else's bread, what somebody else tell you you can do. You listen at what the Lord. See, the Lord's trying to get him back to the point where, if you listen at me, Brother Jackson, that I'll lead you and guide you in not only that suit, I'll give you more other suits. But if I give you that suit and you don't be mine, I'll take that one away from you. Yes. And that's what he did to these women. He said, I'll take away your beauty. I'll take away that you do have. They were so proud and so high-minded and haughty that they could have any man, anything that they want. But now you begging to be married to a man that's married to other people. How many women out there now, they're looking good or whatever, but here you is. Well, why are you trying to get somebody else's man? What's wrong with you? Why they ain't chasing you? Yeah. You chasing them, something's wrong. If we see the rabbit chasing the dog, we in the wrong places. We hunting in the wrong fields. You see, and they, you know, once the devil gets you messed up, how many people that have been following the leader we have today, they have all kinds of praises for him. And I heard somebody was talking about Jeff Sessions. You remember him the other day? They said, now this man is mocking him and mocking how he talked or whatever and saying how wheezy he was and how weak and pitiful he was. But yet and still at one time they were married together. This is one senator was the first one to come out and endorse it. Now you at each other's throats. Have you heard from him anymore? See, that's what people like to do. They like to soil your name. They like to take away from what you are. God's blessing you. And then you start giving somebody else that blessing, and God strips you. Because you've given that which is the Lord's away instead of giving God the glory. See, these women still, all they wanted was name only. They hadn't repented. See, because if you look to the second through the sixth verse, God's talking about the people that he restored. God could restore you. He can give you more than you ever could desire or hope for, even think about. But see, the reason a lot of us, it's always, and it could take over a number of years before we get the things that we are desiring after or whatever, because what we have to learn is we have to seek first the kingdom of God. We have to be married to God. We have to do that which is pleasing to God and always walking in his way. And that's what his instructions say. If you seek the kingdom of God, I'll add these things to you. In other words, people will give unto you and give unto you. Your cup will run it over. Because why? You giving back to God. You become where this God can flow through your life. But if you just a reservoir where it all piles, you just think about you, about self, about how you look, about what you have. You become covetous. You become proud and high-minded instead of distributing the bread that God give you. As God give you, you give to others. You become one of God's ambassadors going around witnessing about your king, about your husband. Bragging about the God you serve. You won't word and love the things of the world. Even though using the world and not abusing the world, then people coming to you, it won't make you all high-minded or whatever if you got 5 or 6 suits. You got 10 suits because you know who's giving you the suits. This blues guy, he was thinking about this woman and he was giving her everything. But another man had her love. He didn't have her dedication. See, sometimes we don't know who's providing for us. All that stuff she thought her lover was providing for her. And it wasn't that way. Sometimes we give credit where credit is not due. That which God gives to us and we go glorify the devil with it. So she was taking the things that he was giving her, giving it to another man. The blessings that God was giving to her that she would honor him with, and we're using that analogy, remember, the husband and the wife, she would take it, giving it to her lovers. That, if you read through Isaiah, you'll see where he makes her, and all the way to Revelation, where he makes the lovers turn on her. See, because the lovers wasn't after a love truly love you. You know, a lot of times you have this man working hard that loves his woman or do anything for her. He loves her too much because he's didn't put her in the place of God instead of following the instructions of God, being married to her the way God say for a man to be. See, that's what Adam, that's why he put that curse on Adam. The ground was cursed for Adam's sake because you listen at your wife. So you should have been listening at me. See, she wanted control over you. And out of the irony of that, I'm going to make her be subject unto you. Because she tried to assume something I hadn't given her. So all her life, yet woman's going to try to control you to show God that she's in the place of God to him. So men worship their wives more than they do God. That's why you're crawling and that's why you can't do right. But when you start worshiping God above all, that's going to put your household back in the right perspective. That's going to put your life in perspective when you put God first. follow his instructions, when you learn of God. That's why a lot of times she'll come up against you stronger. If you're in a strong church, if you following God, she don't want that to happen, because Satan knows when he's going to lose his grip. Satan knows when he's going to lose his grip. If he'd have compromised this and married that woman, he'd have been against God. See, he said in the book of Revelation that this I have against you. The second chapter of Revelation. Let's look at that. He says, "And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, I write these things. The first and the last, which was dead and alive. I know thine works and tribulation is poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of those which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Well, this is not the one that I'm talking about, because this is a sovereign God that was knowing what was going on. These people were in a church, but the church was corrupt. The church leaders was corrupt. They had found their leaders to be liars. But it must be this next church at Pergamos. Let's look at Pergamos church. The 13th verse, "I know thine works and where thou dwellest, where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name." There it go. They have his name and has not denied the faith. And you remember I said, faith must have trust, and it's something that's unseen. So the wife has to trust the husband, have faith in him, even though she don't see or be able to realize the end of the fruition of the goal in which she's going. The faith has to be there. Our faith has to be in Christ, though we might not see the end, but our hope and faith and love is in him, that we will serve him and seek to please him. So he knew that they had his name and they had faith, but he says, "Thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith, even in the days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." So these are another people. Pergamos was the seat of where the throne of Satan was. In other words, the Roman government had moved there, and they were running Pergamos. The church, the worship, everything was centered around. They were running that. Satan's seat was there. In other words, they had leaders just like our churches today that are satanic in view, that hold those different doctrines, even though amongst them there are people holding the name of Christ. He said it's faithful Mar Antipas. Now, whether Antipas was a pastor, a minister, or just a lay member in one of these churches, but he was killed because he held to the doctrine of Christ. A lot of times people will destroy you because you're walking just like Abel. He trusted and believed God, and Cain killed Abel because Abel's works were righteousness. A lot of people, just because you are holy or living a sanctified life, they'll come up against you. And Antipas was killed here. He says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans there." Now, that's two different bodies of instructions there. And they had the doctrines of the Nicolaitans there. And I do think I did have the right one at first about the Nicolaitans, the other church, but I didn't put it in my notes. Yeah, the first church, we'll see the first church at Ephesus. It says, "But this thou hast them there that had the deeds of the Nicolaitans." So in the church at Ephesus, they had those that was doing the works of the deeds of the Nicolaitans. In other words, we don't know too much about the Nicolaitans, because they were only named twice in the Bible, and that was in the book of Revelation. A lot of people say it came from Nicholas, one of the deacons that was named in the sixth chapter of Acts, but we don't know that for sure. And we've studied church fathers and everything, but that's something that we don't know. But we know the deeds of the Nicolaitans in the book of Ephesus. Deeds are something we do, the works of it. You know, sometime I'll ask y'all what's going on and who told you this or whatever, because sometimes people do different works or deeds. And those deeds that you're doing or whatever are not fruitful deeds of God. You remember I say lay aside every weight and sin that besetting you from running this race. So sometimes the things you do are deeds. They're evil deeds. And we have to give account for the deeds done in the body. So the Nicolaitans, the deeds, what they were doing was wrong. See, but this woman brought her own bread and her own clothing. So clothing or apparel, also symbolic, if we look at our teaching on clothing, is we're supposed to be clothed in Christ's righteousness. We can't bring our deeds, our works of righteousness because they're like filthy rags. God wouldn't accept the covering of the clothing Adam and Eve provided. He provided the clothing for them. They only had fig leaves, but he killed an animal and put the right clothing on. But see, as I was saying, though, in the book of Ephesus, that first church, it was the deeds of the Nicolaitans. But notice how this morphed in the book of Pergamos, where Satan's seat was, that he said the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So what was deeds in one church became doctrine in another church. In other words, that was the body of instruction. That was the teachings. So sometimes your deeds, if you allow the wrong deeds, we have to be Bonnie Fife now. A lot of us have to be like Bonnie Fife. We have to nip that thing in the bud. We have to nip it in the bud. There are certain plants, if you don't nip them off, they're not going to grow right. They're going to have suckers or something. You have to get out there. He said he planted some tomatoes, but they died or whatever. But see, if they're growing or whatever, it's certain things you have to nip them off. It's certain deeds as a child is growing. You have to break his little will. You have to learn to break his will. See, that's what God has to do with us. He has to break your will. He have to break it. He has to humble us. See, Jesus didn't have a will. He says, not my will be done, but thy will be done, because we can't do what we want to. That's why we can't bring our own bread and our own clothing. We have to do it the way God said to it. His instruction. See, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam was prevalent in the church of Pergamos. In other words, Balaam was the ones who taught these people of Moab, he couldn't curse God's children. So he said, you know what? Y'all good looking women, y'all have a party and a dance and everything, and have a get together. Have a Super Bowl feast. Be tailgating and everything, and they're going to be eating and drinking, and they're going to get overzealous and everything, and you're going to sleep with them, and they go, you know, that's what I say. The devil wants you to trip yourselves up. You think a lot of people want to hear Jeff Sessions teach them Sunday school now? They say he was a Sunday school teacher. But see, he's insulted his name. Everybody that touched what's wrong, have anybody left that administration that didn't have a falling out with the leader? You got stench on you. If you touch Satan, Satan's going to put stench on you. As Chavez says, you know, you're going to have that smell of sulfur. They're going to have that sulfur smell. You know, you can discern what's wrong. And see, God gives you a discerning. And that brother says, now, that's a repentance that's coming in. This is coming from God because the women didn't want to give this up. You notice that they say, all we want to do is take away the reproach. But see, notice in his testimony what he say, I felt like I wasn't fulfilling my part. I wasn't doing what I promised God that I'll do. You see, that's what God wants to do. He wants to convict you to where you say, I was wrong. I hadn't did what I was supposed to do. I wasn't faithful in what I was supposed to have been doing. If you would help me, God, I want to come up to that standard to where you want me at. That's when we can get help from God. He wants you to say, I've been wrong. As he used to tell me when I was young, coming from a record or something, he said, I jollifies. I was wrong. And you confess your faults to God. And after you confess your faults to God, acknowledge you're wrong. You see, Hosea, he was married to a woman that was a prostitute. She was a harlot. And he said, go back and get your wife. Go back and get her. Now, we don't know how the relationship was after then. And see, that's what I say. If we come to God and give up everything we have and start trusting and following. That's what a disciple is. It's a follower. His disciples have to give up their ways. Our ways are not like his ways. Our thoughts are not like his thoughts. So we have to start thinking. So that requires a change of mind. Now, our duty and obligation is to Jesus Christ. That's to be married to somebody in love, because you want to be like the beloved. You want what the beloved is. You want him to have what offering he has. And as we read in our opening scripture, not that name only, but it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe he is. Did these women believe who he was? Did they believe in his name, or they said, no, we just want the name? See, you got to believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You got to believe that he will take away the reproach. You got to believe that he will change you. But see, all you want is the name. That name, a lot of people have the name of Jesus in this nation. They're sitting in churches, and he said, I have some word against you. You see in these churches, all four or five of these first churches, he says, repent, turn, change. He said, now, I know your works. I know you're doing some of the things, but this is what I got against you. You tolerating or you compromising with those that are among you that are not right. You can't compromise or tolerate within a gospel. That's why he says, come out of Babylon within a marriage to get that marriage in shape. And you read in Corinthians that if you towing the line and if the believer, the unbeliever don't want them, they can go about their business or whatever, but you could do that which is pleasing to God. It's going to be like my older brother told me one time, he was coming from somewhere. He said, I said, my truck ain't running kind of right or whatever. He said, well, look, what you do when we get ready to go across the bridge, when we get there, you just get in that lane and hold that lane. They're going to be behind you blowing and doing all these things, but you just hold that lane. See, you just get in there and hold on to Christ. People are going to say, you're not going fast enough. You're not doing this. You're not. Forget what they say and just hold that lane and just keep trudging along. I said, B.E., I'm holding it. You know, I wasn't going very fast, but people was blowing and everything. But your focus have to be on the goal, where you're headed. Hold that lane. Hold on to Christ. It's going to be people looking at you and pointing at you and doing all these things. If your parents leave you, he says the enemy might be on those in your own household. See, sometimes they might be trying to persuade you not to walk in the right way. It's not that you hate them. You love them, but you hate that way. Notice that he didn't hate the individual here. Do you know, or do you have relatives that you love, your relatives, but some of them have some bad ways? You know, Potiphar, wondering about his wife. You notice that he could have had Joseph killed, because she said, that slave, that Hebrew boy, he tried to lay with me while you was gone. Now, he had entrusted Joseph, and he knew Joseph was a man of God. And Joseph ran when she approached him. And when she told Potiphar this, I think the ordinary thing during those times, he'd have took Joseph's life if he believed that. If he actually believed that, he'd have took Joseph's life instead of throwing Joseph in prison. I don't see where Joseph argued or called her names or tried to explain the situation. He just went on and took the punishment. He went on to prison because that was the direction God had for him. Yes. He just held that lane and he was pleasing God, and he went through those years in prison. Potiphar would probably say, I'm not going to kill him, but to save face or whatever, I'm going to have to put him in prison or whatever. But I know my wife, she probably a little trollop, she probably did this. That might not have been the first man she tried to go with. You know, a guy know his wife. That's what they say this thing about Nicholas was, that he had a beautiful wife. And that was sexual immorality in that church. And that's why we see with Balaam, you remember I told you, he had the women going with him. You know, a lot of churches or whatever, the women are dressed in certain ways. And just because they have a long dress, or certain, that don't mean that they're sexually immoral. And they said Nicholas had sexual immorality going on in the church, a lewdness going on in the church. Some men use their wives as tools. So you know whether your wife is dressing right or not. If you're a proper godly man, you would say, honey, you need to go put something on. She got everything showing and walking and going off this place and going out that place. Well, something's wrong. Look like if you didn't caught the fish, you ought to throw the bait away. See, but they're using their bodies as weapons. And as long as they was using that weapon, and then God has to come in there and take away their bodily beauty. He says he was going to humble them before king. People going to look at them and say, child, what happened to you? You notice a lot of women after they get on drugs or whatever look good, really good or whatever. But after on that meth or whatever they on, crack or whatever they shooting heroin or whatever, after a while they look like don't nobody want to touch them. You notice some guys, prominent businessmen and this and doing all this, but after a while they're homeless and doing that. Satiety. Overindulgence in pleasure. See, that's why you have to watch. When God gives you too much, you have to be able to use that without abusing it. You become a glutton and get too big. If you constantly got a lot of food, you have to know how to eat or whatever. That's why a lot of people have gout and different things. They're eating too much rich food, too much of a full diet. You know, that's why a lot of doctors tell you don't eat a lot of red meat or whatever. You know, we have to have the proper perspective from going in and anything. These women didn't have the proper perspective. All they wanted to do is be called by his name. That's all that they wanted. And we have to watch people that just want something from us and don't want us. They want the gifts, but they don't want the giver. Are she reciprocating? Or is she becoming a good wife? And she's worried about whether her husband has food at home when he comes home. We look at the virtuous woman. We see where she provided food for her workers, food for her husband was always dressed nice. She was doing the work of a woman. You see, that's a high calling to be a woman. That was the last thing he made, so that was a mighty high calling. He just kind of throwed man together. But if you noticed a woman, a man, that and that's his duty to take care of his wife, to provide for his wife. If she's a proper wife, he'll do anything for her. He'll give her his life for her. We'll be just like Christ. Christ gave his life for his bride. Are your wife that type of woman that you'll give her your life for? Or you'll say, I'm glad she gone. You know, that was a burden on my shoulders. You know, sometimes you can become a burden. God could bless you. You know, beauty is a curse also to some. Can you imagine how much attractive woman or man have to tell people to resist other approaches of other men or women? If your wife dresses decently and looks decently, or your husband does, how much he has to say, no, I'm married, I can't do that. See, because that way you're not abusing the looks God had given you. You're grateful for it and you're thankful for the compliments. You're not speaking ill of the compliments, say, well, you look wonderful. You dress nice. You're able to take that without being proud and say, oh man, she want to go with me. Oh man, he wants me. You're able to say, thank God that you made me this way. You giving God the glory to say, no, I don't have a ring, but I am married. Did I give you an impression that I wasn't married? See, that's why we can't judge by the outward man how a person look or what they have on. It's the inner person. So if that inner woman hadn't changed and she just wanted his name, she may do anything. But if the inner person's changed, if it's trying to please God, no matter what you say, God had given me this to glorify him with. Joseph say, well, look, God had made, your husband had put me over everything in this house except you. See, Joseph knew where his bounds was. Now, he said that Potiphar had put him over and given him everything. But notice when it came to the woman, he said, how can I lay with you and sin against God? He didn't say sin against Potiphar. He said, how could I do this and sin against Potiphar? I mean, God. That's why when Bathsheba, David went with Bathsheba or whatever. I don't know. That might have been part of why David says in the 51st Psalm, Lord, I've sinned against you and you only. Notice he said that. He didn't say against Bathsheba also. Maybe Bathsheba knew what she was doing, that her castle was in close proximity, her home was in close proximity to David. You know, a lot of women know when you're looking and you think they don't know. She probably didn't see him looking over there after. How many times some woman had caught you looking, you don't know she didn't go. See, because women catch things faster than men. She come in the church or come in the building. She didn't check that and tell you what every woman had on and what colors didn't match. Whereas you might not have even noticed all that. He said, I sin against you and you only. So this can't be in name only. We know if you're a true Christian. And that's what God's working on, the inward man. So don't be just a Christian in name only. Don't follow Christ. He who nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. You know, I know she's a Christian because, you know, she wear different blouses now. You know, I know something else has changed because she don't have that wanton look, that licentiousness about themselves. You see, because he's working on the inward person. That inward person shows an outward, a spiritual Jehovah look. And there's nothing more beautiful than the adornment of a godly woman. That's why Peter says, take Sarah, for instance. Take Sarah. Sarah was a beautiful woman. You know, everywhere she went, those kings wanted Sarah. And she had to be in her 75 or 80. You know, she was pretty old at that time. But they all wanted. But it was something godly about her. The adornment of a meek spirit, a quiet spirit. Read 1 Peter, 2 Peter about the spirit of Sarah. See, that wasn't a brazen spirit because you notice that everything Abraham told her to do, she did do. But see, you got that woman, that bold woman that says, would you marry us? Because we don't want a reproach on our name. But that's probably that bold enough to say, look, you don't tell me what to do now. You know, that woman that's always popping off. Name only. Watch, because you can desire that, those things, and after you get those things, you will see that, man, this was a curse to me, not a blessing. God is able to allow that to happen. But faith, trust, is sensitive in the same way. It is conscious of the things of God, and it sees God. In addition, faith not only evokes the hard, cold facts, it has a remembrance of truth, but also responds emotionally to a wonderful dynamic grace and powerful personality of love. So faith has something that's trying to bring everything together in love, and that love is shed abroad. So you can feel the tenderness and love of this person, and with a clear mind, it says to the pure, all things are pure. This person can do things for you and everything, but her beauty wouldn't give you the impression that you're thinking carnal thoughts. You know, a lot of times people doing nice or doing saying nice things to you or whatever, you start, if you have a carnal mind, people tell you, well, look, you're thinking in the gutter. Get your mind out of the gutter. You're not thinking godly thoughts. You know, this person is evoking the wrong type mind or whatever. So I think this is the last verse here that applied to God's judgment on those proud, hearty women. That they was going to get to a point that they was going to be so debased that they would share one man, that they would go into polygamy. I think if we look at in the Bible, every time they speaks of a polygamous relationship, that it wasn't right. it causes dysfunction in the family. I think God had created it such that a man and a woman should be joined together. But not two men and not two women. And not a man and two or three women or several women. That's where Abraham had a problem at. That's where Jacob had a problem at. His two wives. You get two women in a household, you know, a grown daughter and a grown mother, you have problems in that household. Somebody says, leave your mother. Leave your father. In other words, God designed for you and your husband to be there raising your children. He says that was a function of marriage, that you be fruitful and multiply. That God wanted you, the function of marriage was not just in name only, but to raise up children or have fruit in the image of God. So now we see how we got to where we are in concluding the matter. Your motives and objectives was outward, and it was through pride. You just wanted a removal of the reproach. It wasn't in duty to God that God says, be fruitful and multiply, but that you had the wrong thing in mind. So you have to have pleasing God in mind. You have to doing what's right to God. Why did you marry this person? Now Paul says it's better not to be married, but for the sake of not committing fornication, it's better to be married. You know, God did give some people that gift of celibacy, where you didn't have to be married. But if these women here, we see a problem there. It wasn't a commitment to God. It wasn't a commitment to their husband. It was still a self-centered purpose. And we have to deny self. We have to crucify self. We have to take up our cross and follow after him. Amen. So in this marriage, you have to be willing to consummate it in Jesus Christ. Yes. The wedding supper of the Lamb. In other words, when this marriage is consummated, as Paul spoke, that my job as a minister, the teacher, pastor, is to present you a chaste virgin unto Christ. Yes. That you be not be married unto the world and the things of the world, not have the love of the world. The only way I can do that is through the gospel preaching. The good news, bringing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, reconciling you unto God, turning you in repentance, shaping and forming and molding you in his image in likeness to be one in Christ Jesus. That way the reproach is removed. God puts a covering on you. He had made that atonement to bring you to a place of right standing with God, and that you will be called the sons of the living God. Amen. He said he'll give you a new name that only you know. Yes. He give you a new name. Yes. Heavenly Father, as we look unto you, Lord God, to be called by your name, Lord God, search us and examine us, Lord God. Our motivation and everything, Lord God, change us and make us in your likeness and image, Lord God. Wed us unto you, Lord God. We are your bride, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.